Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Shelley, my first question is, an employer is an ALE with over 50 full-time employees and must provide coverage that is affordable. Our renewal date for the group health plan is April 1st. When do I use the rate for 2024, the 8.39%? Do I use that 8.39% starting January 1st, 2024?
Hi, Jim. The answer to your question is no. If this employer is renewing on April 1st, then they would continue to use the 9.12, which was the affordability test in 2023. Because when they renewed in April 1 of 2023, that affordability test and that affordability number of 9.12 goes for the entire year. So it would apply through March 31st. When the plan renews on April 1st, they will then switch to use the 8.39 test instead of last year's 9.12.
When must an employer include the cost of health insurance on the W-2 forms? Also, what if there are three companies that make up the control group?
So a couple of good things to go over there. An employer needs to include the cost of the health insurance on their W-2 form if they issue 250 or more W-2 forms for the 2023 year. So notice that I said issue 250 or more W-2 forms. I'm not counting how many employees they have. I'm counting the W-2 forms. And then the second part of your question that talks about three companies that make up the control group. So if there are three companies that in total, all of the W-2s, because they are a control group, those companies are related, you have to add all of the W-2s for all of the three companies. So if that total is 250 or more, then each of those three companies, even though by themselves they do not have 250 or more W-2s, because they are the control group, you add them together. So each of those three companies needs to do the health insurance reporting. The cost shows up on the W-2, box 12, and the code you use is DD, as D as in dog.
Shelley, do Section 125 plans need to be renewed every year?
No, they do not need to be renewed every year. However, with some of the changes that have happened over the course of the last few years, or changes that happen within the employer, it's always a good thing for the employer to reach out to the plan administrator that they work with for their Section 125 plan, just to make sure that everything is written down as the employer is doing it and that there aren't any changes that need to be made. But it is not a requirement to have them renewed or redone every year.
An employee has a child that turned 26 and is terminated from the parent's plan. Can the parent or employee pay for the COBRA plan for the child through the FSA plan?
The answer to this one is no. The employee or the parent that is still working at the company where the child was covered up to age 26, when that child turns 26, in most plans, that child is going to be terminated. So that child, if they want to continue coverage, it will need to be COBRA coverage. They get up to 36 months, but that needs to be paid with after-tax dollars. It cannot be run through the flexible spending account. The only other type of plan that the parent could possibly use funds from to pay for the COBRA would be a health savings account, an HSA. So if either one of the parents of this child has or had an HSA and still has funds in that HSA, you can use those HSA dollars to pay for the child's COBRA.
Is a domestic partner treated the same as a spouse for health insurance and related items?
That's a big no. There is a difference between a domestic partner and a spouse. As all of us know, around 2015, we had the DOMA Act, which basically said that the federal government was recognizing same-sex marriage as well as opposite-sex marriage. So when you truly have that marriage contract, then you are a spouse. A domestic partner, it's two people that can live together regardless of the sex that we're talking about. They hold themselves out as, you know, being life partners. There can be notarized statements or other things that they have, but it is still not the same as a spouse. So if something happens that domestic partnership breaks up, there is no COBRA coverage. There are other things that would not be offered that would be offered for a spouse.
Are all employers required to file their 1095 and 1094 forms electronically in 2024 for the 2023 reporting period?
This one is very apropos of what we're talking about now. Many employers are working on their 1095 and 1094 forms. The big change this year is that starting January 1 of 2024, an employer needs to look at all of the forms that they send to the IRS in aggregate. And when I talk about all of those forms, I'm talking about W-2 forms, 1099 forms, and 1095 and 1094 forms. So you're going to add up all of those forms that an employer needs to send to the IRS. If you get to 10 or more, that means that employer must file the 1099s electronically, the W-2s electronically, and that's one place that you go to file those. The 1095 and 1094 forms need to also be filed electronically, and that is through a system called AIR, the Affordable Care Act Information Returns. So it is something that the employer needs to set up, and they need to make sure that they are okay to do that filing. The other choice that the employer could have is to talk with their payroll company, their accountant, or someone else who might have access to electronically file and may do the filing on the behalf of an employer. It may cost money, it may be free, but that's a question that the employer needs to do. We are in the middle of January. These forms need to be sent to the IRS by April 1st because March 31st is a Sunday. So there's only a couple months left, and it does take a while to get that AIR set up. So it's a really good time to be talking about this and for the employer to understand that if they don't have any other opportunity to have someone file this for them, and they do have 10 or more forms in aggregate, again, W-2s, 1099s, and 1095, 1094 forms, they better get to work on what they need to do the AIR filing on their own.
If an employer has union and non-union employees, how do you count the total number of employees to determine the group size for ACA, COBRA, MSP, etc.?
So even though the union employees might get their insurance through their own union, whichever one that might be, they are still employees of the employer. So you're going to add all of those union employees with all of the non-union employees. So in most cases, like for COBRA, we're looking at 20 or more. For Medicare secondary payer, we're looking at a total of 20 or more heads. And then with the ACA, we're counting until we get to 50 or more. But you're counting the union and the non-union the same to figure out what your total employees are.
What is the stability period under the ACA?
So again, it's the time of the year when we're talking about all of this reporting and all the renewals. So the Affordable Care Act suggests that if you are an ALE, an applicable large employer, you have 50 or more full-time and full-time equivalent employees, you need to offer a plan that is minimum essential, minimum value, and affordable to at least 95% of your full-time employees. You also are required to set up a look-back measurement period or a monthly measurement period followed by an administrative period, which for us is the open enrollment period, and then you have a stability period. And oftentimes that stability period would be the same thing as the plan year for your group health plan. So if someone is found to be a full-time employee when you do your look-back measurement or your monthly measurement, then you offer them coverage at the open enrollment or administrative period, and they've earned that when you looked backward. So as long as they remain an employee of the employer, they are also guaranteed to have that offer of coverage during the stability period, which is also in many cases the plan year. So this typically is talked about right now that John Doe has been working for the employer in 2023, worked full-time for all 12 months, and then offered coverage, gets into 2024, and John Doe has to take care of his spouse, and so he can only work 15 hours a week. His employer says, yes, that's fine. So he does have a reduction in hours, but because he earned the right to have that offer of coverage for the stability period, which in this case would be all of 2024, he would continue to get that offer of benefits until the next open enrollment time. That is the stability period.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.